Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
Hey. I gotta think of this different song. This boy wouldn't mind the pain, will always feel the same. Hey, Mitch, do you know how Bill and Hillary met?
In the library.
They were both dating the same girl in college. Did you hear
that? I like that one.
Yeah. This is Brian Beebe. We're going to get rolling here because I invited some of my friends to call between 3 and 4 o'clock, and we were late getting here. This is Brian Beebe, and this is MadisonTalks.com. The next hour is going to be sponsored by Monks at the Wilderness, Monks at six different locations in Wisconsin, and Sorrento's at the Wilderness. So Monks Bar and Grill, family-oriented, friendly place, great food, sports, thousands and thousands of TVs in each store. They have 2,000 TVs. No, but they have probably 100. You know, in each store, unbelievable. They have TVs in the bathrooms, Mike.
Awesome.
Yeah, at the end of the stall, you can be standing there doing your business and look over here and never miss a second of the game.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not in the mirrors?
No.
That's the fanciest I've ever seen, was TVs in the mirrors in a hotel.
Oh, that is cool.
That's pretty fancy.
Like a section of your TV will be a different TV?
Yeah. No, in your bathroom mirror.
In the glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, behind the glass, yeah.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. You just can't go without a second without being connected to that screen, can you?
Right.
Mike Brockerfeld, our tech guru in there, running the sound. Today, I was thinking we would talk about a number of different things, hoping you call in. You can be a part of the broadcast if you call in on 608-210-1667. I took a sinus pill 15 to 20 minutes ago, and I'm sleepy. I'm definitely sleepy, and it's going to show in my energy today. But I was thinking we would talk about the Dells in a little bit, because I have been in it. I want to talk about things I know about, and I have been in the Dells for all of my adult life, in the summertime and for the last 20 years or so, year-round. And there's a lot of people who listen to me who are Dells people, and they know things about the Dells. But for those of you who haven't been to the Dells for a while, and even the ones that live there, there's a lot of things you don't know about the Dells. And I'm pretty proud of it. I love it. Oddly enough, Wisconsin Dells is about 10 miles from Baraboo. I'm wearing my Bad Boys of Baraboo shirt, which is the northern, it's the winter location for, and has been for 100 years, of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. And through no real effort of my own, it just happened that way, I spent 20 winters in the Sarasota-Bradenton area, which is about 10 miles from the circus, the summer home of the circus down in Florida. And so I'm kind of a clown, related to a clown at least, you know. Do you know why alligators don't eat clowns? They taste funny. Yeah, they taste funny. I've got some jokes, I got some stories today, but the Dells, years ago when I was in a duo with Robin Zander, Cheap Trick, and everybody knows this story, but when we split up, and he joined Cheap Trick. I opened up a bar, and in the time between the time we finished our gig that Labor Day and the time that I opened my bar in November, I guided on the upper dells of the Wisconsin River. I was a boat guide, a tour guide.
That's fun.
And I learned a little bit from the other tour guides, basically, about the type of rock. I learned that dells is from a French word, D-A-L-L-E-S, dalles. I don't know how to pronounce it, but I read it, and it's layers of flat rock. It's called layers of flat rock, and if you go up to the dells and you see these rock formations, they are cut with layers like this. And I don't know why this is, but many of them at the water level are angled like this and cuts like this. I don't know why.
That makes sense.
They would be, here's a layer of these flat ones, and right below it will be a whole section of ones that are parallel lines. But down here like this. Well, the answer to most of that is 50,000 years ago, the dells in this whole area was the bottom of the Cambrian Sea. It was sea bottom, and that's all sandstone. Compressed sand, which is an incredible number of billions of sea creatures, shells, that's what sand is compressed, is crushed up sea creatures' shells, bones, and so there must have been many, many years of it and many, many creatures. Anyway, that they got compressed down, and that was the floor of the ocean that is now the sandstone rock in the Dells area up there. And we talked about the tannic acid in the water, which turns it brown color. It's not, everybody thinks it's from the paper mills up north of the Dells, but it really is from the rock and the plants in the water. And tannic acid isn't bad for you. It's actually used in things like suntan lotion and things like that. But the rock formations up there, as you take this comforting, leisurely Upper Dells boat trip, are really something to see. One time, you know, Stand Rock, the vision of the Dells is where the dog jumps from the mainland out onto this table-shaped rock called Stand Rock. And all the postcards of the Dells in the old days had a picture of this dog in mid-jump, you know, jumping from across this, because everybody who ever took the boat trip saw this dog jump across the space between the rocks. You know, I actually got up there. I never jumped across, but I got up there and I looked at it, and I was going to jump across for my boat tour, but I chickened out and climbed back down. Anyway, I only took them every couple of days, these boat tours. It was off season. There wasn't that much action. But one time I was walking people up to the Stand Rock area where we saw this natural amphitheater and visited the snack bar, as you do on all these shore landings on this boat tour. And on the way up there, there was a rock formation called Hornet's Nest. And it was a gigantic 10-foot-tall rock that was way big, fat like this, and came down to a little point like this. That's why it was called Hornet's Nest, okay? It was just off the side of the wooden walkway on the way up to Stand Rock. And I would point this out to people. And people, there's postcards of it, that people have been directed to this rock for, you know, as long as there have been boat tours up there. But between, let's say, my Tuesday tour that I took And my Thursday tour, this rock formation that had been there thousands and thousands of years fell off into the river.
Oh, boy.
And tore out a bunch of the wooden walkway as it did. Gigantic. It was on this tiny kind of a pedestal. And it finally gave way, I guess, and this rock just disappeared.
Nuts.
Rock formation was there on my tour one day, and the next tour it was not there. Kind of. But that's just part of the Dells. In fact, I've been told that although when we were kids that the boat tour and Tommy Bartlett and the Indian ceremonial were the whole thing back when we were kids. Fort Dells was another one that was, anybody who's been up in the Dells for any length of time would remember Fort Dells was a big western fort that Cowboys and Indians theme, you know, which was big when I was a kid. And all the little kids that came to the fort were deputized and made into junior marshals. And at some point in the afternoon, Black Bart would rob the Fort Dells train, and the marshal would take all these hundreds of junior marshals and go get Black Bart and throw him in jail.
Awesome. Yeah.
Could you imagine being Black Bart? You're the guy playing Black Bart. And 300 kids come at you just mad and swinging their fists and kicking you. And you have to walk quite a ways between where the train tracks is and this jail that they put you in. So the kids are hating you. It's big fun for the kids, but they must be kicking you and punching you in the privates and whatever they do. But that was a big part of the Dells, too, was Cowboys and Indians at Fort Dells. It's gone now. It was on the corner where McDonald's and Walgreens is now. And the Dells has evolved because the casino, Ho-Chunk Casino, came there about 30 years ago. And that inspired these year-round water park hotels to start being open year-round and catering to winter business, which never happened in the Dells for all those years. Now it's a year-round town. It's very much year-round. And the attractions are water parks, go-karts, roller coasters, and restaurants. We got an outdoor theater. We got a dinner theater, a playhouse, concert theater, the Crystal Grand. Golf. So I don't know how many golf courses they got there. 27 holes or better. We got a ski place, Christmas Mountain Ski Lodge, Ski Hill. It's out there, 4 miles. Towards Reedsburg, I guess that's west of the Dells. And lots more to do. And the boat tour, which used to be 85% of people that came to the Dells would take the boat tour, is now down to 5 or 10%. We still got the ducks, we still got the boats, and the attendance is way higher than it used to be. But not as many people. In fact, lots of people have chose now to take the jet boat tour. Up and down the Upper Dells, which used to take 2.5 hours by regular tour boat. You can see all the sights and get up there, and a lot more thrilling and a lot quicker. You can do it in about an hour, a little under an hour now, in a jet boat. And zip lining is big up there too now, Mike.
Zip lines got
there's
big.
Several yeah. zip lines up in the Dells that you can go.
So you say jet boat, you mean just a faster boat or one of those fan boats?
It's jet fan.
Sweet.
Yeah, and yeah. It does the huge spin out, you know, with 20 people on it, and it can go 40, 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, those things are cool.
Yeah, gigantic boats. And I have friends who live up and down the river, and they say that it swamps their boats. If they're on the boats are at the docks behind their houses,
yeah.
the wake behind this jet boat will swamp their boat.
Nuts.
They constantly got to pump the boat out and raise it back up. So that lots of people aren't. Anyway, I shouldn't talk that way about it because I got a friend who owns the ducks, and the ducks own the jet boats. And And the Dells boat tour is still a viable thing. It's still very, very a pleasant tour. The Ducks is about an hour, and I like to tell people if they go up there for just an overnight, if they're not going to stay 3 or 4 days and try to see everything, here's how you work it. You get yourself a motel or a campsite or however you like to go, and one day you have to do three things. You have to see the Tommy Bartlett show. Tommy Bartlett says a really good show. It's been there 55 years, and it's still good. You have to get on the Green Ducks, because they go, it's an hour tour, and they go on land through the woods and see some rocks and some of the up and down the hills and on land. Plus, they go in the lower dells of the Wisconsin River, and they go on Lake Delton. So you get to see water twice. Sweet. On the Green Duck Tour and land. So if you're only going to be there for a little bit, you have to see, take the Green Ducks. You have to see Tommy Bartlett's. And if you go to the, it's 4:30 and 8:30 shows. 8:30 shows lets out about 11. So I was going to say you got to see the drive-in movie too, because that's a dying thing in America. But we do have a fabulous drive-in movie there where you can see a double feature on two different screens of first-run movies. I know I've mentioned that on this show before, but first-run movies, not creature features or splatter, B-grade things. Real movies that you see previews right now will be playing at the drive-in, one after the other. You can choose to see both or one of them. And behind you on another screen, there would be another two movies. So I don't know if you can actually turn your car around, and if you don't like one movie, to start watching the other. But because you tune your car radio to the sound of these movies instead of putting the old speaker in the window thing.
Bring a boombox along, some batteries.
Yeah, that's what you do. Because otherwise, I think you got to keep your car turned on, and you might have a dead battery when you get after 2 hours at the movies. Anyway, I want to talk about a little bit more about the Dells, and I've been talking to some people about how they feel about rap music and jazz music, and lots of people who listen to pop music, that the kind of music that I play, have real problems enjoying jazz, freeform jazz, and rap music. And I want to just comment on that a little bit. Please call in and talk to us about anything you feel like talking about. This is Brian Beebe on Madison Talks. The number is 608-210-1667. Let's chatter a little bit today. All right, be right back.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
I hate to say it, but I told you so. Don't mind my preaching to you. love that stuff, man. I played a show with Robin out in Colorado, and we, the two of us, would play on the breaks of a group called Stone Ground, which Sal Valentino, who just was singing that song, was the lead singer in this Stone Ground. I told Mitch Hank a joke that I'm not going to repeat on the broadcast, but here's one. You know, when I got divorced, I had a little trouble getting over my divorce. It was really a tough thing to go through until my friends sat me down and we watched our wedding video in reverse. We were up at the altar and we just kind of backed down the aisle and out the doors and into cars with our friends and took off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of just like erased it. We're watching the wedding video in reverse. Some people are like slinkies, not really good for anything, but they bring a smile to your face when you push them down the stairs. You like that? Yeah. All right, we were talking about the Dells. And last week I asked you a question, and maybe you can answer me. Do you think that I should try on this show to be a little bit more issue-oriented? I've been bringing my keyboard the last few weeks and playing some songs and trying to keep it light. I try to keep it light in general because I think that it's pretty easy for people to find a lot of confusing and news items anywhere you turn nowadays that are enough to anger you, enough to keep you tense, and maybe not sleeping well. And so I wanted this show to be kind of a respite from all that and kind of easier to do, easier for everybody to listen to. But maybe I should get into a little bit more issue-oriented shows. If you think so, please call 608-210-1667. And if you have watched very many of these shows, Michael attest, I'll come in here with a subject each week, something we're planning to talk about, but when people call, it just goes over there. You know, if they call and they ask, we want to talk about this or a certain person, it'll just go over there. You know, we'll just talk about whatever comes up, and the assigned topic is just out the window.
Yep. No,
nobody really.
That's okay, though.
Yeah, I guess it is, and because I want people to call. I can't say, look, hey, oh, that's interesting, and I would really love to talk to you about that. But we're talking about vacuum cleaners this week, you know, so we can't talk to you about that fun subject you brought up. You know, I mean, I just can't do that. I want to talk about what you want to talk about. You know,
vacuum cleaners are pretty interesting.
I sold encyclopedias door to door when I was a kid. And we just hated it when Kirby vacuum cleaners or Electrolux or one of those guys had just been through this town.
Yeah.
You know, and making everybody mad about a door-to-door salesman. You know, here, the guy says, hello, madam. Oops, I just spilled this great big coffee can full of crap on your carpet, you know. I better come in and
demo my
vacuum cleaner. Well, oh, yeah, okay, we got the mess all cleaned up. She says, oh, that's terrific. How much is it? $30,000 for this vacuum cleaner and all
that.
Pretty
close.
But the attachments are another $10,000.
Roughly.
You know, so, and it just, I remember this encyclopedia set that I sold was Collier's Encyclopedia. And it was, Collier's magazine was popular, so the name had some recognition, but it wasn't like World Book Encyclopedia that was sold by the teachers in the schools. Your son or daughter would do better grade-wise with this teacher if you had purchased the World Book from this teacher.
Yeah.
So we had that to compete with. But one time I got in this, we had to go to these small towns and canvas, and we usually went at night because we had to catch the husband and wife together. And you can't get a soliciting permit in a town, small town, in the evening after dinner.
Right.
You know, so you were just illegal. As soon as old lady that lived alone would see me on the porch and get scared and call the cops, I would be tossed in jail. It happened over and over again. And then you had to wait for your boss to get finished with everybody else and come out and bail you out.
Bailing everybody else out of jail?
Yeah, well, probably. But one little town they had that just had it with door-to-door salesman, and he took me, I got hauled in, and he went through my salesman kit with all the pictures and the sample book and all the stuff, and looked through the contracts and found that we did have a contract that was, I don't know, 10 years if you wanted to finance it that long. It was like $11 a month. If you were broke and wanted this, you could get it for $11. You know, but he looked at the interest and just, he wanted to beat me up because there's so much interest in a 10-year note on a $700 set of books. You know, it's almost all interest. And so I got thrown in jail extra hard that time. Washed up, put the prison clothes on, and got shipped over to the county seat to the jail.
Oh, man.
Thrown in the tank, dark in there.
I thought it was going to end on a happy note, like he was going to buy a set.
No. No. You know, don't remind me, I used to work in a psychiatric ward of a hospital, Mike.
Yeah?
Yeah, and one of these days I'm going to kind of do a show about my experiences, and it was really interesting working in a psychiatric ward of a hospital. I mean, I can't talk about it now, but okay. I will do a show about
one
it.
One day, huh?
Yeah, one someday. what should we talk about? I got so many jokes. I got to look at these because some of them are just not G-rated enough, you know. Wife jokes. I was married by a judge, but I should have asked for a jury. How's that? My wife tells me about her day in real time. Real time. I married my wife for her looks, but not the one she's been giving me lately. Yeah. This is I can't say that one. I can't tell that one. Husband, this wasn't me. A husband found an odd powder in his underwear drawer, and he said to his wife, "Honey, why did you put that talcum powder in with all my underwear and my underpants and stuff?" She said, "That's not talcum powder. It's Miracle-Gro." Like that, yeah. And Sherwin, the golf jokes we did on Father's Day, and the dating stuff. I don't know if I should do any more of that online dating stuff because I told you about the UW students. 51% on USA Today did a study. 51% of all the UW students in Madison had been shown that they drank themselves unconscious in the prior 30 days. 51% of all UW students had drunk themselves unconscious in the prior 30 days in this survey. Yeah. The other 49% never answered their phone. Yeah. So it could have been the. Yeah, I've done my impressions. I gotta get some. How often do you hear? I ask myself sometimes, how often do I hear the phrase, "Nice talking to you"? Not very often. Nobody ever says that to me. Who's on the phone?
Your good buddy Ed Legg.
Oh, Ed Legg. Hey Ed. I'm gonna buddy. Tell one more really stupid joke for a minute, okay? And then I'm gonna talk to you. Because I'm so dozy with the sinus medicine I took. I gotta wake up a little bit. Mike, have I told you about the four great religious truths?
Huh.
Four great religious truths. I mean, and, you know, they're talking about the differences between, you know, religions and stuff now. And here's how it breaks down. Muslims do not recognize Jews as God's chosen people, right? Jews do not recognize Jesus as the Messiah.
Yeah.
Protestants do not recognize the Pope as the leader of the Christian world, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And Baptists do not recognize each other at Hooters.
That's right. Where do you get these?
The four great religious truths. I don't know, Ed. But I've been collecting them for years just to throw them away on this show. Look at all these pages I can't use anymore because I've already said, told these jokes. My good friend Ed Legg from Capital Newspaper. Nice to see you, man.
Yes, sir.
Ed McMahon, he was here for a show and he did his perfect. You are correct, sir.
I need to come back.
Budweiser and what else? Alpo. What else did Ed McMahon advertise on? Alpo. On Carson's show, he did live spots for Budweiser and Alpo dog food. By the way, thank you for providing that picture. I didn't show it to Mike yet. Mike, you made the front page of the Dells, Reedsburg, and Baraboo paper.
Nice.
You and I, well, look at this. Wait a minute. Let me show you the front page instead of the back page. You and I in the studio. Ed took that picture, and some other guy did this article about... me and the podcasts are part of it. We're working in the studio here.
Good
see that?
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, put it up. That. Put it up for the Facebook people.
Yeah, if you can.
Nice. Yeah you can.
How do I you take can. That picture? Is that on your?
Or you could either get it off the story, or you could put the whole article on your Facebook.
Right off of Capital Newspaper.com. WisconsinNews.com. What is it?
What is it? God, good question.
Well, his byline says, this is by Kevin Damask. Is that how you say it, Ed?
Yes, that's how I say it.
And it's kdamask at wisknews.com. W-I-C news, all one word, .com. And so, but it's Capital Newspapers, right?
Yes, it is. I'll look it up. You know what? I'll look it up while we're talking. I'll look it up on the... Dell's event. Oh, hold
Ken,
on.
Ken Hagen. I'm looking at the front page. Ken Hagen died.
Who is he?
I'm not sure. Hans Federle.
Okay, I'm sorry I laughed at you saying Hans that. Hans Federle. It's not funny when somebody died.
Ken Hagen. I think he owned Ken Hagen's bar.
Out where
Sandstone is. Barbara Scheel, formerly of Wisconsin Dells. They even advertise people who don't live here when they die, huh?
I told you
about my mother, how morbid she was. On Mother's Day, I told you about my mother goes through the obituaries in the paper, and then she takes the phone book and crosses out the names. So talk about morbid. Well, you good thing you laughed because people think people might think I was serious about that. She was a little morbid, crossed out their names, and then
did she really do that?
No, of course not. But then the second joke in that setup is you know, when you call 411 information on your phone, they would actually call her and find out the up to date, you know, who's still in the phone book and who isn't. Yeah, I know it's dumb. I know it's dumb, but I like the dumb jokes. I told some people the other night.
I do, too.
I was telling some jokes the other night, and I said, you know, a groan is as good as a laugh for me. I've been bombing with these same jokes for so many years. If somebody goes, ooh, like I kicked him in the stomach or in the ribs, that's just like a laugh for me. That's just fine. I mean, I know I've gotten to him. You know, if they go, oh my, you know. If they laugh, fine. If they don't, fine. If they beg me to play another song, then you know you're really getting to them. You know.
Really? How about
don't. What are you working on today, Ed?
Well, I was supposed to interview Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh yeah.
Yes, he's coming to the Dells. Don McLean is coming to the Dells.
No kidding. Is he still at it? Yeah. Wow.
He really is, and he has not had a facelift. He looks like him, you know. He looks like Don McLean,
rough.
Aged like you and I do.
Yeah.
He's coming to the Crystal Grand.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You know, he could probably do like a 8 or 10 minute show, couldn't he? I mean, he'd do starry night, starry night, and then the other one,
the
American Pie, and then thank you, good night, everybody, and off they go, you know, back to their lives.
And maybe Vincent was a big, you know, people
Vincent,
like
that,
Vincent.
That was Vincent was starry night. That's what
that
was
is.
Vincent.
Oh,
yeah.
That is. Oh, you're right. You're right.
Hey, I'll tell you something you don't know about Don McLean.
What's that?
He was playing in the Village, New York City, Greenwich Village, and Roberta Flack came in to hear him and turned around when she got home and wrote, "Strumming my pain with his fingers,
nice.
Singing my life
really?
With his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song." That was inspired by the one you just said.
Don McLean.
Yeah.
McLean.
What was the song? My medicine. You know, the long, long time ago.
Yes.
What's the name of that?
American Pie.
American Pie.
American
yeah.
Pie.
Yeah. And she said, I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a style. So I came to see him to listen for a while. There he was, this young boy, singing clear and strong, strumming my pain with his fingers. That must have been right after Buddy died.
Wow.
And she's going, I prayed that he would finish.
That is a great story, Bride.
Yeah, it's really inspired
Did
by...
Did she tell you that personally when you were dating her?
No, I never met her. But she emailed that to me and said that... You know, here's the origins of that song. Yeah, no, she didn't.
So, do you want to hear about Billy Ray?
Yes, I sure do.
Well, did you know he's in a new show, a cable show that he plays an Elvis impersonator?
Is that ever perfect?
I'm not kidding. And he's got an even worse haircut than the one that he had 20 years ago.
He's got what? Worse hair?
It's an even worse haircut. The guy is, you got to give it to him. He's not afraid to go out on a limb with his hairdo.
No. he was a trendsetter, man. There was a lot of redneck guys walking around with that Billy Cyrus haircut for, you know, after that. And then he was in that Dolly Parton video when Dolly says to her girlfriend, "I think I'm old enough to be that boy's lover." Do you remember
Good
that?
Lord.
Remember that one?
No.
That one line. She says, "I think I'm old enough to be that boy's lover."
Oh my goodness! That's
Dolly
disturbing.
Parton said that about Billy Cyrus.
I didn't get to interview him yet.
He was on a TV show before that, wasn't he? I mean, like a few
remember.
Years ago, some kind of a cop one or the Dukes of Hazzard style thing.
Was he on Hannah Montana, or was that just his daughter?
He was. Yeah. He was on Hannah Montana.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
And she took over the Tonight Show the other night and was the host and everything, the guest, the musical guest, everything. She's an incredible piece of work, isn't she? I mean,
no kidding.
Say what you will about her, she's entertaining.
She keeps going too.
Yeah. And
they both figured out ways to set out. It's incredible. This, I mean, Billy Ray Cyrus is still you know, he's, but besides touring, he's in TV 25 years after he did that song. Go ahead, though, Brian. I interrupted you.
No, let's sing a little bit about it. Don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart.
My achy, breaky heart.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, how's it go?
If you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart. It might just up and kill this man.
Yeah. You know that? Do you know that that song really kind of kicked off the line dancing craze?
Oh, you ain't kidding!
Oh, yeah, God, you're right.
And the dance, believe it or not, the Achy Breaky Heart dance was taught to people in bars by instructors before the record came out. I mean,
really?
It was, they were ready when that record came out to start line dancing. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, it was a. It was, you know, we had a trivia question one time that said, we was doing team trivia with my son down in Florida, and it said it was Boot, Scoot, and Boogie by that kicked off the line dancing craze. But no, Achy Breaky Heart. You look it up
really?
Online. The line dancing craze started with Achy Breaky Heart. And so be it, man. If that gets people out of their chairs and on the dance floor and doing something social with strangers, man, that's a terrific thing.
Line dancing in gym class. That's what. That's
did you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
For sure.
Wow.
No, you
that's
graduated
not a bad
much
idea.
Later than us.
And the jitterbug, too.
Jitterbug. Yeah. Dancing in general.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I remember we had... a little bit of dancing when I was in school, but they didn't. I think it was mostly square dancing where you didn't touch your partner.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You just dose a dote around their
that.
Backs.
We
you
did
know?
Too.
Bow to your your corner, bow to your partner, dose a dote. I think you touched them when you promenaded home.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yep.
like
yes.
you promenaded like this, but you weren't ever close, you weren't ever up front to front. You were side to side or you didn't touch at all. Huh?
It was elbow. You did that elbow thing. That was it, brother.
Yeah. Well, you're always a treat, man. So you're interviewing Billy Ray. And
well, I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
But no dice so far. They're gonna do a team interview where they several reporters call in and ask him questions.
Well, he's not here till the 15th in the Delaware.
Right.
So you got time.
Yeah, I do. So, you know, the first rock and roll gig I ever played was in a Baptist church.
Oh, was it?
Yes, they had a you know, big, you know, Baptist is big in the South, and they had a huge, annex with basically a room that was almost like an auditorium size.
Wow.
And they let us youngsters go in there and blast away.
Yeah. You know, I told you before that one of the first, local musicians that influenced us as kids was a guy named Al Legg, L-E-G-G-E. Remember me telling you that on an early show?
Yes, sir.
The first time I ever saw that band play, it was in a church basement. And I have played in church basements quite often. This one had a little stage, and Al Legg, I'm sure he was on drugs or drinking. even in the daytime, even in the church basement, as he, you know, he'd stand over that bass like this, you know.
Yeah. In Rockford?
Yeah, Loves Park. Loves Park, yeah. In fact, I went to school with his younger sister, and she never mentioned Al.
Really?
No. She he was her older brother, but she never, she didn't like to talk to him about him too much. He was probably a problem. He was probably a problem. Anyway.
There you go.
Hey, thanks for helping that Kevin Damask out with that nice article. If you're interested in reading anything about me or Derek Ramnerace
yes, who else?
There's three,
story?
Four different people in there that
Dennis
play music.
In there?
No,
is
but
the Swing Crew isn't.
No, they're not in there. But they don't need any more press. Those guys are constantly in the press in the Dells anyway.
There you go.
No, I'm trying to remember some of the names. Chris Middlestead and his wife are in there.
Okay.
And her name is, I'm embarrassing myself now. Call in, Trish. Trish knows
her. There you go.
anyway, yeah, there's several different groups that are mentioned in the Dells Baraboo kind of music scene. In the front page of those papers, I would never expect that, man.
Well, it's a regional story, so it's
well, and you would think that, I guess it's because it's starting to happen in the Dells. Music's everywhere and fun and stuff. We're gonna go to break, man. But are you gonna hang around, or are you gonna
Okay. I'll hang a little longer.
All right.
Okay, buddy.
We're gonna come back and we're gonna talk a little bit about whether I should talk about issues. Also, want to talk about how air conditioning changed the lives of average people in America. So, Brian Beebe on Madison Talks, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill and Sorrento's at the Wilderness up in Wisconsin Dells. Be right back.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Mitch. Lies. It's all I ever get for this polarization that's been going on in America for quite a while. Started with air conditioning. You know what I'm talking about or not?
I have a clue, but go ahead.
Well, when in the 30s, are you there? Are you there still, Ed?
I'm here. Yep, I'm here.
Back in the 20s and 30s, when air conditioning became popular in America, in the houses, people gave up their porches and stayed in where it was cool. And the porches that were huge porches, wraparound porches that were built onto these houses in every neighborhood you were ever a part of, were where people would go on a hot day and sit outside in their swings and their lawn chairs or chaise lounges and watch their neighbors pass by, go in and out of their driveways. They would know if somebody was getting company, you know, because they'd see an out-of-state plate go down the road and turn into a Roger and Janie's house or whatever it was. And they knew who was sneaking around and who was, you know, in the daytime, somebody's at work and somebody's having visitors. You know, I mean, they knew everything of their neighbors because they were outside. Air conditioning caused everybody to stay in the house, in their business, in their cars, just race between the house and the car if it was hot out and get that air conditioning going in the car. Was car air conditioning first?
No.
Was there car air conditioning before there was house air conditioning? Or was which was it? But anyway, that and remember, there used to be businesses. Mitch Hank is here, and he's got a show at 5 o'clock today. And he's got, who have you got, man? Roger Stone? Roger Stone is
really?
Friend of Trump's, he's going to be on. And
wow.
Yeah, and he's had him on before. Mitch has had him on before.
Oh, yeah.
He's not a maniac. He's a pretty smooth guy for a guy who has been accused by the liberal media of so many things, you know?
Yes.
Anyway, he has been all those things. You told me he fixed some stuff in way back as far as Nixon? No.
Really? Clinton? Yes, I think you're right.
Clinton?
Yep.
Anyway, I'm not political. Mitch Henk is a politico. P-O-L-I-T-I-C-O. And he plays both sides of it, too. He doesn't... I'm not saying he goes both ways. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he can...
Yeah.
He was a Democrat, and he's now a Republican, but or an independent, but he... He says he evolved into a right-wing asshole. I mean, he was a regular guy, and he evolved. He said he evolved. And I think it was you know what? I can't help but think it's partly Sinatra's fault, because Sinatra was really hard into those right-wing things, too. And Mitch, for whatever reason... He identifies big time with Frank, you know, because I like Tony Bennett. He thinks that Tony Bennett and I are kind of we're tenors, and you can't be a decent person if you're a tenor. You know, he likes it.
Yeah.
He says tenors have more fun, but he doesn't really have any respect for us. It's like blondes, you know. If you're blonde and you're a tenor like me.
Oh boy!
Yeah.
Two strikes.
Anyway, I was going to talk a little bit about the air conditioning and the porches, and they don't even build new houses with porches. Why would anybody want a porch except for if they wanted their house to look traditional and oldish, and to sit out there once in a while, in a 2-3 days a year, if it's really beautiful, they'll sit out there. No, that's not what porches really are. But I was also going to talk about jazz and rap. How much time do we have, Mike? 4 minutes. Lots of people that I know that really kind of like popular music, like I do, are not big fans of jazz, especially free-form jazz. And the young girl bartenders at Sorrento's, where I play, if there's cool jazz on the iPod, between sets or between artists, they think it sounds like softcore porn. Cool jazz, you know, how it's just all instrumental, no singing, and it's just a beautiful sax, Kenny G,
lonely
whatever.
Saxophone.
Saxophone. Jazz is hard for people to get at. There's not a lot of singing, and jazz singers are suspect because they'll take a song that you know and turn it into something completely different, and leaving you asking yourself, why didn't they just write a new song? Why did they take that old classic song and change it so much it wasn't recognizable? You know, why didn't they just write a new song? I mean, I've asked myself that too, but it's because they need to create. They want to take something familiar and create. Even Charlie Parker, with some of his heroin-laced, hugely sweaty, manicky saxophone solos. I'm not being funny. That's his saxophones were sweaty and manicky.
Yeah.
And lost. And his hands would be bloody afterwards. Even those solos would come back around to pick up the melody in these songs. At some point, the whole band would all of a sudden turn on a dime and break into the melody of It's Almost Like Being in Love, or one of these, something that they took off on. But my theory was that guys always started in rock and pop music, and when they got to the point where there was just nothing left for them, they had mastered, they were the best players around in rock and pop, and they needed more of a challenge, they would find jazz players. Now you can't get paid anymore, but you can at least play music that's more satisfying and more challenging to you. You know,
there you go.
Jazz
that's
bands,
true.
The best guys in your area who play jazz have to do it for free.
Right.
Nobody pays jazz guys to play.
You know, I think you're right.
Unless they can be popular.
You're correct, sir.
And the same thing goes for rap. Rap is not, people say, that's not music. Well, it's poetry, and it's beautiful poetry. It can be sludgy. It can be sleazy and hard to get your mind around. But it's poetry, and the beat just drags this poetry out of people, and poetry is beautiful. And you can almost always find some sort of melody in the background music of these raps. Or the rappers will invite some guy to sing a line in it. Is somebody on the phone now with 2 minutes to go? No, okay. Hey, would you do me a favor, everybody? Stick around for Mitch Henk at 5 okay. o'clock. Or come back for Mitch Henk. If you haven't heard Mitch Henk's show, you should. This guy knows his business. And it's not all politics. It's not all politics and dry stuff that it's hard to slog through. He's funny. And he makes his guests who aren't funny, he makes them funny. It makes fun of them, basically, is what he does until they toe the line and become funny. And him and Mike bantering back and forth is funny. Mike Brockenfeld, our studio engineer. Anyway, I got to go. But anyway,
okay, visit
Monk's Bar and Grill. Look for my friend Ed Legg's byline in the Capital newspapers, and maybe there'll be an article here soon about Billy Ray Cyrus, man. Looking forward to the new stuff about him, man. I will see you soon, Ed, up in the Dells,
okay,
man.
Okay, buddy. Sounds good. Drive safe.
Yeah. We're also brought to you again by Sorrento's at the Wilderness. We'd like to thank MadisonTalks.com and my mentor, Mitch Henk, for putting this all together. And we'll see you next Tuesday, 3 o'clock. Thanks a lot.